Our scripture reading is, again, a really short one. In verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we're not even taking the whole thing, we're just taking that second phrase. To die is gain. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. My mother-in-law passed away some 10 years ago now. It was a year or two after she died that this memorial from her daughters was put into the newspaper. It reads like this: another year has gone by since we lost our beloved Esther. She is greatly missed by her husband, Jake, and daughters, Kathy, Liz, and Joan, as well as her 16 grandchildren. Yet, we are comforted in knowing where she dwells. She departed this life to lead a better life, leaving an example of what it means to be a Christian. We hope that the memory of Esther's life and death will be an example for all of us to live out of her favorite Bible text, to live as Christ and to die as gain. There is great comfort in knowing God and His promises in the face of death. In fact, that is the only comfort that there is, the Word of God and the promises that He makes. For we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So, death is gain for the Christian. But still, I do not want to die. I don't think I'm alone in that feeling. Something about death terrifies us. Scripture itself calls death the last great enemy that must be overcome. So when I think about physically dying, it troubles me. I don't want to be found naked, as Paul says. I don't want to lose this body. When God was calling me into the ministry, this is actually almost literally my response. I said, "Here I am, Lord, send somebody else." I didn't want to go. I had many reasons for not wanting to go into the ministry, but one of the chief ones at that point was, if I'm a minister, I will have to do funerals. And I'm afraid of death. And I have nothing unique to say about death. I don't understand it. It still terrifies me somewhat. So, Lord, because I'd have to help people as they grieve. What was I going to say? I have nothing unique to say about death, and in some sense, it still terrifies me. Then God pulled me aside, so to speak, and He said, "You're right. You have nothing to say. You have no unique wisdom, but I do. I do. If you share with people my words and what I have done with death, that will be comfort." Now I have something to say at funerals, and this may sound kind of funny, but I really look forward to doing your funerals. I know that sounds bad. But for the funerals of my brothers and sisters in Christ, we can celebrate. And I have some genuine comfort to give to others who remain behind in the face of their grief. Because I have the Word of God. Because we have the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He has conquered death. He has made it our friend. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, this is Jesus, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And, this is a big and, might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. If you can look at death in the eyes and no longer be afraid, you can live. You can really live. You are no longer a slave to the fear of death. But I still had a fear of death. And so I came to this text. Death is gain. Well, how am I going to understand that? How is death gain? Because from my perspective, it looks like loss, right? Don't we, at least in our own experience, don't we lose everything when we die? Don't we lose time? Don't we lose our abilities? Don't we lose our health? Don't we lose our breath? Don't we lose everything? Everything that we do in our body, don't we lose friends? Or at least we're separated from them. Family? Food? I like food. Fun? Everything else that we do with our bodies, it seems like death is loss. We lose everything that we know, and that's a big loss. It's a complete loss, isn't it? So what is it, or how is it that Paul can say with such confidence, as he stares death in the face, he can say death is gain, and I'm not afraid. In fact, I greatly prefer it. That's what he says in our text. It is far better to depart and to be with Christ. So why does he call death gain? Well, what is death? Death is when your body ceases to function. It is when our souls are separated for a time from our bodies. But death is not a biological necessity. Death is the punishment for sin. That's what the Word of God tells us. Perhaps we could put it this way. Nowadays, death is a biological necessity because of sin. Everyone dies. Everyone within the sound of my voice will die. We will all encounter physical death. It is an inevitable part of life. This life ends. And sometimes we comfort one another at funerals with, well, they lived a good long life. And that's true. And there is a measure of comfort in that, I suppose. But death is still unnatural. It shouldn't be happening in God's perfect world. It will no longer happen. God promises that one day death will be no more. But there are, as you may know, three different kinds, I guess, or categories of death. There is spiritual death. That is separation from God, or maybe more specifically, separation from His goodness. It is being alienated from God, God who is love, God who is light, God who is truth. Spiritual death is to be separated from Him. This is the death that Adam and Eve experienced as soon as they sinned. They were separated from God, and they felt it. They knew it. They were spiritually dead. Did you know sin, in some sense, is its own punishment? Augustine put it this way, "And by my own sin, you did justly punish me. By my own sin, you did justly punish me. For you have commanded, and so it is, that every inordinate affection should be its own punishment." Sin kills. Sin, in some sense, is its own punishment. It may look good. The outward packaging and the marketing for sin is absolutely extraordinary. You may think that you are gaining by sinning, but you're not. You're losing. You're being separated from God. We live in a sinful world. We live among sin-filled people. And we are still subject to death. All of this is part of the penalty for sin. If we are separated from God, if we are alienated from Him, if we are separated from life, well, then where are we? Well, we dwell in the realm of death, which is Satan's realm. That's what spiritual death is. We are separated from God. In some sense, we are separated from real life. Secondly, there's physical death, when our bodies cease, when our soul is separated from the body. "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." I'm going to put an image in your head that will probably be with you for the rest of your life, and you may not like me for it. But sometimes when I drive down the road and I see roadkill, I think one day that will be me. Not that I'm going to die in a car wreck, I don't mean that, but one day I am going to die. Now that may be kind of morbid and kind of gross, but that is a very helpful thought if you want to live real life. One day this life ends. I don't have forever here. I need to invest what time I have in the best things. I need to live real life while I have life. And even roadkill can remind you of that. Anyway, you're going to think about that when you go home now. Just wait. Roadkill. You need to delight in God and the best things in life. But there is physical death, there is spiritual death, and there is what they call eternal death. What does that mean? It is eternal separation or eternal alienation from God. And sometimes we put it this way, it is the eternal presence of the wrath of God. That's what eternal death is. It is making spiritual death permanent. Through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of the death, that is, the devil. There is a connection between sin and death and judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes judgment. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. If you sin, you will die. Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die. Ezekiel. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For as in Adam all die, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. The wages of sin is death. When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. See the connection? Death is the last great enemy, and the one who, in some sense, has the power of death is the devil. But Christ has conquered death. Christ has defeated Satan. He has changed death. He has conquered it. He has destroyed the power of Satan over death. Look at these words again. Through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who, through the fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives. Are you afraid of death? Does it terrify you somewhat? Even though you have heard the promises of God, even though you know that death is a defeated enemy, that it now is in some sense become a friend, how can you overcome the fear of death or being subject to its slavery with the promises of God? You need to see death as gain. You need to see death as conquered. And I think through faith in the word and the promises of God, you can see death as a friend. But you do need to see death as gain in order to overcome your fear of that last great enemy. So how is death gain? That was the question. Paul states it. Death is gain. It is greatly to be preferred. But how is death gain? In death we gain more of Christ, who is life. Paul later says, I am hard pressed from both directions, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. See, Paul lived in the light of that conviction. He didn't live fearing Monday or what would come to him. He lived knowing that tomorrow, one day, I will be in the presence of God forever. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can harm me. Nothing can wound me. Nothing can surprise me. I know where I'm going, and I'm safe in his hands, and I'm going to be there one day. It is gain. It is much to be preferred, he would say. We are of good courage, he said in another place, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Death is going home. It is not leaving home. It is going home. It is finally arriving home. I think there are many people who live with a sense of homelessness. They don't feel like they fully belong here, or they're fully accepted here, or everything isn't right here, and things are still off. And so we remodel our houses, and we change houses, and we build bigger houses to try to feel better about everything. But there's still something in this life which isn't fully home. We're going home. One day we're going to be there. And Paul knew it, and he lived in the light of that truth, and it overcame his fear of death. Because I'm going home, I will have more of Christ. Truly I say to you, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Let me ask the question a little bit differently. Are you afraid to die? Let me put it this way. Are you afraid of paradise? Are you afraid of going home? No! Are you afraid of having more of Christ? No! You don't have to fear death, since Christ is life. In death we get more of Christ. Seeing Christ is gain for the Christian. Faith will be turned into sight. All the things that we believe, all the things we have to take on faith, we will now see with our eyes. We will see God. In our confessions, it puts it this way. We will behold the face of God in light and in glory. Are you afraid to behold the face of God in light and in glory? Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. You don't need to fear death, my brother and sister in Christ, because it ushers you into the presence of God. Death is gain, because we gain more of Christ. Death is gain because we gain more of holiness. Some people call death final sanctification, where we will be fully and finally purged from sin. Not only will we be separated from our bodies, we will be separated from sin forever. And it will not be able to touch us anymore. We will be holy. The Confessions, the larger catechism says, our souls will be made perfect in holiness. And the Scriptures put it this way, we come and we worship to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We will be fully sanctified and we will sin no more. We will be made perfect. If you, and I assume that you do, if you hate sin, you shouldn't fear death. For when we die, we will sin no more. Thirdly, death is gain because we will gain freedom from sorrows. I came here this morning with a heavy heart, and I don't think I'm alone there either. There's some things that are worrying you, some things that are troubling you, some things in this sin-filled world which are not right. You have griefs and sorrows that you bear right now, and they cloud your life. The psalmist in Psalm 31 put it this way, for my life is spent in sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. And the ransom of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be on their heads, and they will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. No death, every tear gone. No mourning, no crying, nor pain. And then He calls them, for the first things are passed away. All the things that cause you tears, and sorrow, and sighing, and fear will be gone. Do you fear that? Death is gain for the Christian. For he will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord will wipe tears away from all faces. There is much to grieve in this life. This life is filled with sorrow and with tears, with mourning, because we sin, because the people around us sin, because we live in a world that is still stained with sin. We live in a creation that is still under the curse, as beautiful as it is. What will it one day be? I often wonder. But there is much to grieve in this life, but not there. Not when we get home. It'll be gone forever. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears. And sometimes I think of the astonishing promises that God has given us in Scripture, that will be one of the most amazing to me. No more sorrow. Every tear that we have shed, every legitimate tear, every legitimate sorrow, every legitimate grief, gone. We'll be able to look upon all of those things that so trouble us now and say, those were just the first things and they're gone. And I am now in the presence of God forever. I am holy and I am free from sorrows. We do not need to fear death, because it will be the end of mourning. And it will be the end of pain and of sorrow and of tears. Fourthly, we gain in death, we gain pleasure. This isn't often talked about, but listen to this. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We think of death as the end of everything I enjoy. We think of death as the end of my pleasure and my joy, and it is only the beginning. We are not, my elderly brothers and sisters, you are not taking your final steps of life. You are about to take your first steps of life. We gain pleasure. Death brings us into the right hand of God. We gain, fifthly, knowledge. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I am known in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. When we believe, we begin to know God. We know Him truly, but when we die, we fully know Him. We will enter more deeply into the knowledge of God, to the wonder, to the grace, to the splendor, to the majesty of God Himself. We will begin to, as the Scriptures say, see Him as He is and be fully transformed in His presence to what we always ought to have been. We will be bearing the image of God perfectly. We will gain knowledge. We will gain a home. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. We had a session meeting on Friday night, and afterwards, part of the things that the hurricane brought was a gorgeous sunset. And Ted Kuhn and Gary Mullen and I were staring at the sunset. And I was thinking, the God who paints the sky almost as an afterthought, and it is just stunning in its beauty. This God who has this sunset as an afterthought, He is preparing a place for me. He is preparing a place for me. Are you afraid of that? Are you afraid of a place that God has prepared for you? We gain a new home. You are not homeless. And we gain the reward of grace. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And for the one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. There's a reward for obedience. There's a reward for faithfulness. There's a reward for service. There's a reward for faith. A reward of grace, but it's a reward. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with Him, He'll sit on His glorious throne, and then God will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. There is a reward for faithful service in this life. And that ought to be, for the Christian, gain. We will gain, finally, crowns. I couldn't really limit this to one because there are several different crowns we're going to receive. And again, I'm just reading to you the Word of God. This isn't Pastor Mark's wisdom. This is God's own Word. Listen to this. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do you not know that all who run in a race, all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one, an imperishable crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Death is gain for the Christian, but don't go yet. I hope I haven't encouraged you. I'm going now. It's vacation time. God still has something for you to do here. That's why you're still here. I think that's why he hasn't revealed more of what glory will one day be like. Because we would want to be there now. But there is glory in living this life for the glory of God. And so we're still here and we ought to be here. But we are still to celebrate the victory of Christ over death. Death is now gain. O wretched man that I am, Paul said, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I have sinned, but he is a Savior, and the work is already done. And when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is gain. We have the victory. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, John said. And he placed his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And here's the question. Do you believe this? That's the gospel in a nutshell. Do you believe this? It takes away the fear of death. She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We celebrate Christ's victory over death by embracing death as gain, meaning embracing the promises of God that he has given us in the Word. So what is a Christian attitude toward death? I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Or with Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I have the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better. I prefer rather to be absent from the body and present or at home with the Lord. For we know that if our earthly tent in this house is worn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We don't have to fear death, because death is gain. They kicked all the missionaries out of China. 1950, there's probably 500,000 Christians in China. Kicked all the missionaries out. Before that, there was actually persecution of Christians. And there's persecutions of Christians in China today. And it's pretty severe. But they went from rough estimates, these are all rough estimates, from 500,000 Christians in like 1950 to some say 60, 70, or even 100 million Christians in China now. And they are being persecuted. I'm going to tell you a story about a missionary to China in 1932 who lost his life, and a friend, a fellow missionary, who wrote a poem about him. Listen to these words. Afraid of what? To feel the Spirit's glad release? To pass from pain to perfect peace? The strife and strain of life to cease? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? Afraid to see the Savior's face? To hear His welcome? And to trace the glory gleam from wounds of grace? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? A flash, a crash, a pierced heart, brief darkness, light. Oh, heaven's art, a wound of His, a counterpart. Afraid of that? Afraid of what? To enter heaven's rest? And yet to serve the Master blessed, from service good to service best, afraid of that? Afraid of what? To do by death what life could not, baptize with blood a stony spot, till souls shall blossom from that spot. Afraid of that? The last great enemy is death, and death has already been defeated. Dear Christian friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and death for you is gain. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You do in this sinful world, for how You have forgiven sin, You've paid for sin, You have conquered death, You have prepared us for a life that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, the things that You have laid up in store for those who love You. Lord, help us not to be afraid to die. Help us not to be afraid to jump into Your arms, to embrace fully all of the promises of the faith, to be afraid to enter into life, to enter into knowledge, to enter into the place that You have prepared for us, to see You as You really are, to be fully sanctified. Afraid of that? And Lord, help us to preach this glorious gospel to those around us, this victory over death, this victory over fear, this one day place where all tears will be no more. So Lord, help us to bear the gospel witness to the world around us, and help us, Lord, to enter more confidently into it ourselves, that our lives would be a living witness, an epistle written for all to see, that we trust the living God who has conquered death and given life, and we now live it already. So bless us, Lord, our work and our witness, our preaching and teaching, our witness and our prayers. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.